Hey guys, in a world that can be unkind, it's time we took a stand and declared loudly and clearly there's no place for bullying, not now, not ever, okay? So welcome to an episode that's going to pack a punch. Today, we have a unique personality that's dedicated his life to fighting a global issue that's been suppressing self-worth and potential for ages, and that is bullying. He's a clown with a purpose, an award-winning humanitarian, a world-traveling activist, a renowned keynote speaker, a skilled boot camp trainer, and the author of Bullseye on Bullying. He's dedicated to empowering the marginalized, the forgotten, and those who've lost hope due to the devastating effects of bullying. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Bullseye the Clown. And yeah, I love Bullseye. He's amazing. Here we go. Bullseye, you were the first clown that I've talked to, and I'm so excited.
Yay! I like that. I like that. I always like being everybody's first clown.
You are. When you go on other shows, are there hosts that are like scared of clowns and they're like, I don't know how to talk to him?
There hasn't been. Usually the people that want to talk to me like clowns. So yeah. some of their viewers might not like clowns, but usually the host is okay with them.
Yeah. Clowns are great, Barney. I don't know about, but you know.
Yeah, Barney. I love you.
Let's jump into this. We're going to talk about bullying today. We're going to talk about clowning and how those two come together. So let's just say, like, how did you get like inspired to start, you know, clowns on a mission and to help combat bullying, I guess, by clowning around?
Well, actually, I didn't become a clown until my father passed away back in 2018. And my dad never traveled. So when he left me some money, I knew I wanted to do something with the money as opposed to just, you know, spending it on the bill. So I remember watching a movie, Patch Adams, years ago. And I knew Patch Adams was like a real person. And for those of you who don't know who Patch Adams is, he's a clown who happens to be a doctor who believes that most people can be cured more through human connection and humor than through medicine. And so he does clown tours all over the world. And so when my dad passed away, I decided to do a clown tour with Patch Adams. We went to Russia for 14 days. I had never clowned before. I had no idea what I was doing. So, you know, I just got some stuff together that I found, like, you know, a costume store or whatever. And my nose was way too big and I had these big antlers on my head. I had no idea what I was doing. But anyway, so I went to Russia for 14 days. And it was during the course of the clowning that I realized what an impact clowning actually had on the people that we visited. We went to hospices, children's hospitals, orphanages, and just seeing the impact that we had when we were there. When I came back, I knew I had to do something with the clowning, and I wasn't exactly sure what. But how the clowning ties into bullying is, you know, years ago when I was bullied at school, I kind of became the class clown, you know, so it was easier to kind of make fun of the stuff that was happening so that it didn't seem quite as devastating. So I kind of figure, you know what, the bullies kind of created the clown. So now it's only fitting that the clown kind of figures out a way to shut the bullies down. There you go. You know, so that's kind of how the two kind of intermix.
So when you went to Russia, was it specifically to talk about bullying or was it just to go with Patch Adams?
No, it was specifically a clowning. So the whole point was to go into places where there was a lot of trauma, whether it was, you know, physical or mental, because we did go into some like drug rehab centers and things like that as well. So we just we went in and our whole focus was just to make them laugh. So that was really what our purpose was there. But I was a kid who, other than the bullies always looking at me, I kind of felt like I was invisible. You know, I would not, you know, put myself out there. So it became my mission while I was on this particular trip with Patch Adams that if I went to an orphanage and I saw a kid sitting by themselves, I would actually go over to where the kid was and I would try to get that person involved. Because a majority of the kids will just rush you and they want to look what's in your bag and what tricks you've got and all that kind of exciting. And so I figured, you know what, there's 35 clowns on this trip. They can deal with that. I wanted to find the ones that weren't getting involved.
Oh, so, that is nice. You're the
you know, Yeah, so it was really interesting. You know, I'd never done it before, you know. But I saw this little girl, and so I went over and I started sitting down beside her to blow some bubbles, and then she got up and she left. She moved to a different location. And then I got up and I went over and sat beside her, and then she got up and she moved. And we did this all the way around the orphanage. Uh-huh. and then I started pulling out, you know, bubbles and balloons. And then she came over and sat beside me, and I gave her a look like, and so I got up and I moved. and so I just kind of did what she did to me. You know, we went all the way back around to where we started. And then finally I let her play with the balloons and the bubbles. And so, I mean, it took me like, you know, 40 minutes to like, you know, get to this girl and to get her to, you know, open up. I mean, I couldn't talk to her because I didn't know Russian, mm-hmm. and she didn't know English. So it really just had to be like a physicality thing, and, you know, just being able to open up your heart enough so that they could see it, even though they may not understand what you're saying.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Let's talk about this bullying. You were bullied. And
I was.
What did that look like? What was the bullying that happened to you?
So the bullying at school, the bullying was, you know, kids pushing you into lockers. Usually it was like the jocks, you know, the ball players. I mean, I was like the little choir nerd and the little, you know, drama. I was into like drama and stuff like that. But they would like push me into lockers, call you names, trip you, put little signs on your back. Things that, you know, a lot of teachers would say, oh, that's just kids being kids, just, you know, learning to get along, that kind of thing. But then when I would go home, my parents divorced when I was really, really young. And so I went to live with my mom and my stepdad, and my stepfather was an abusive alcoholic. So I wasn't even escaping that when I got home, because then, you know, the slightest little thing would set him off and he would come chasing you down the hallway with a belt. And so I had to learn how to figure out how to navigate the bullies at school and how to navigate the one that I had at home. So it was, I couldn't ever get away from it other than, you know, hope that he passed out, you know, you know, start buying him beer, you know, here, drink a beer, pass out, you know, leave me alone. So yeah, so that's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah. Let's talk about these bullies at school. Like you've got you as a kid, and you've got these bullies who are pushing you into lockers, and they are putting signs in your back. What caused them to say, you know, this is fun, this is funny, I want to do these things to somebody else? Why did they do it?
You know, I it's really funny, because as I started to sit down and write the book, one of the bullies that actually pushed me into the lockers and was doing all this stuff actually sent me a letter on Facebook. I guess he was going through a 12-step program, and part of it is to make amends. And I guess that was something that was weighing heavy on him. So I was able to actually ask him, you know, why were you doing this? And his response was he was like biracial. So he was mixed races. And so in order for him to fit in with the group of kids that he wanted to fit in with, he would bully other kids so that they wouldn't bully him. Mm-hmm. So it's part of, I think they just kind of, it's part of a group thing. They, and honestly, I think that a lot of them learn it from home. You know, I mean, I guess I could have done either thing, you know. I was bullied at school and I was bullied at home. And so I felt powerless both places, but some kids who are bullied at home, they're like, well, I'm not going to be bullied at school, so I'm going to take that power back. And then they just ended up bullying other kids.
There's a cycle there.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. And I almost think that, you know, bullying behavior isn't something you're born with. I think it's something that you learn. And so I think most of the time you learn it from home, or you learn it from a family member, or you've gone through it yourself. I know like some kids who are bullied at one school, when they go to a different school, they become the bully because, okay, now this is a different situation. Nobody knows me, and I can take back some of the control.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of times when we talk about bullying, right, we're talking about kids in school, right? And mm-hmm. I'm mostly, when I think of bullying, I think of kids in more your elementary type schools. And then probably by the time it gets to high school, maybe it's more like gangs and stuff like that. Are those related, or is it different?
I think to a certain extent, I think that a gang is just, you know, you want to belong to something. So, and so a lot of times, in order to belong to that group of members, you know, you have to do something to and be initiated. And unfortunately, usually it's either committing a crime or it's usually beating somebody up or taking somebody's lunch money or whatever it happens to be. It just, and I don't think that it really changes much from grade school all the way through adulthood. I mean, because, you know, and I know we all think about bullying being in school, but I mean, it happens every day. It happens in the workplace. You know, there are people who go to work every day and they're bullied by either a boss or a coworker. So it's something that still happens even on a grand scale and even when you're an adult.
It blows me away that it happens. It's almost like we can't outgrow it if you start with it. Mm-hmm. What's been your experience with that? Like, do bullies stay bullies? I know you talked about the 12 guy in the 12-step program, but as a general rule, do bullies outgrow it, or what's the deal with the bullies?
I don't know that they outgrow it, but I think that you can get to a point where I don't think they're going to outgrow it unless we bring it to their attention. You know, one of the things that I wrote in my book that most people have had issue with, I guess, is I have a chapter on public shaming. And I sometimes don't think that bullies stop being bullies until they're shamed somehow in public. You know, so say it just happens to be like, there was a lawyer once who was at a coffee shop in New York City, and he was really just bullying somebody of a different race. And it went viral. And so they posted his, you know, videos all over, and it ruined his practice. You know, he no longer was able to get clients because a lot of the clients that he got was from the race that he was putting down. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think that something that drastic has to happen in order for them to be shaken out of that comfort zone that they find themselves in and the power that they feel that they have. You know, sometimes you have to take that power away from them.
I totally agree with that. And there are a few TikTok channels I watch where it's, you know, this is the bully and we need to take them down. And after everyone sees them, I don't know if they stop, but everyone knows who they are. So,
right. Right. And I think that's half the battle. You know, a lot of people, and especially online, cause there are certain websites I don't use online because people get behind a Twitter name or whatever, and bully people, and people, it's kind of an anonymous thing. So Twitter has always been a platform I refuse to use just because that seems to be where a majority of the bullying is happening, is on Twitter. And so I don't use that platform. Sorry, don't sue me, Elon Musk.
No worries, Mark Zuckerberg's on your side. He's got his threads going, so you're all good.
All right. So I thought I better put that disclaimer in there. That's just me. So that's kind of part of it is, you know, when there are, and I think it has to do too, when you're anonymous and you're doing it out in public and nobody's around that knows you. But then when your mom and your dad see it or your family sees it and go, what on earth were you doing in that coffee shop? You know, then it kind of embarrasses them that somebody else has finally called them out on it.
Yeah. So you I believe are mostly working with kids at this point, right?
Yeah. And ironically, that wasn't why I started to talk about bullying. I started to talk about bullying. Actually, it was after I went on the clown tour. I didn't want to be like a poster child for bullying, you know. but when I went on this clown tour, and I was depressed because my dad had just died. I had all this pent up anger from all the years of being bullied. And so we went on this clown trip, and for 14 straight days, we had to be like happy, 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 mm-hmm. you know. So everywhere we went, we had to be happy. When I came home, I realized that all of that anger that I had about being bullied years ago and all of the angst that I had about my father passing away, all of that stuff was gone. And so it was, you know, I basically learned that, you know, doing nice things for other people kind of erases all of that. You know, it takes away all of those ill feelings that I had. And so originally when I thought, okay, now I'm ready to talk about bullying and stuff, I really wanted to target adults who had been bullied as a kid, but who never got over it. You know, because gotcha. I found that very interesting that there are some people who were bullied as a kid who, you know, in order to show their bully up, they become super successful. Like, you know, you have like Lady Gaga, Susan Boyle, people like that who, you know, reach like a really magnet. But then there are millions and millions of people who are bullied who should be very, very popular, or should be at the top of their game. But they take jobs that are really beneath their qualifications because they don't want to go out for it because of the way that the bullies made them feel. They don't feel like they're worthy of going out for a job. So originally those were the people that I was trying to target. And then it just kind of snowballed into a bunch of other areas as well.
Were you successful talking to them, and what were you talking to them as the clown persona, or just as back?
I do talk to them as the clown persona. And it was just really interesting, because we all have that same thing, I should be probably, my dream was to be like, a famous actor, making my millions of dollars. And, but I never did because one, I never went to New York because, I heard that New York is full of, crime and stuff like that. And I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to be the first victim. As soon as I walk there, I'm going to get beat up and, in the subway, I just never did anything with it because of the way I was treated. Probably if I had had people who were, building me up and lifting me up my entire life, that might have been a whole completely different thing, and I might be in a whole different space. So, I'm okay with where I am now. I think, I'm where I'm supposed to be. So, it all worked itself out, but, it took me a long time to get to that realization because, I still held. That was some of the things I was still holding to whenever I went to this, got into clowning. I'm like, here I am. I'm supposed to be this, Hollywood actor. And here I am going to Russia with 35 clowns on a bus. I have my life get here, So, it's amazing how our lives go. But, and honestly, there are some people who you just can't bring out of that. I mean, there's some people that I've really tried to talk to about their bullying. They're an adult now, and I just can't get them out of that funk that they're in. And they don't realize that something inside them has to change it. I realize that, you can't always change the bully, but you can change the way you react to them.
I got you. Is your mission more about changing the bullied or changing the bully?
Okay. That's one of the things I stress in the book, that this book is not about the bully. It's about you who's been bullied, and what you can do to take back the power, and the authority. I was actually here. I heard a TV evangelist, which I don't always watch those, but I actually heard one day, and she was talking about power and authority. And so one of the things she has said, and of course she was talking about, God and the devil and all that kind of stuff, but she said, we are all born with power, and we're all born with authority. And the difference is, there are certain people who are powerful, like the devil is powerful, and executives are powerful. But you are the only one who has the authority over your life. And so nobody can bully you unless you give them that authority, and you give that authority away by one, like when you don't say anything, when you just allow it to happen, you give away that authority because you're not standing up for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so it was that little moment that kind of clicked in my head and said, I should be, even if I can't fix it, I can at least take back my authority. You don't have the right to bully me, and I'm not listening to you, and just walk away. I mean, at least you're giving a stand, and you're saying something. You're taking back that authority, and they know now that you are aware of what's happening. So that kind of just changed for me in that moment when I heard that. I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And so from that moment on, it was like, I just make sure that I open my mouth. And
what you teach people when they come to you, it's like you just need to say something because you might have this kid that's diminutive, I'm gonna hide, I don't want to be touched. And then you've got the bully who is the jock that is like, you're not gonna push him back. How does that kid deal with that?
A lot of times I do a little bit of role play. So what I do is I take because I think a part of why people get bullied is the perception that the bully has on a particular child. They're gonna target somebody who is got their head down, who's into a book, who is not really looking around them. And so one of the things I teach them is, you know, body postures and things like that, and how that can affect, you know, when you walk, you know, walk with your shoulders back, walk with your head up, make sure you're looking. I mean, a bully doesn't want to target somebody who's alert and can see it coming, and can do something about it. So we just do like some fun role playing to where, you know, like, who do you think is like the least likely movie star to be bullied? You know, and they'll say like a Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, how would Arnold Schwarzenegger walk into a building? And so, you know, and they feel stupid, you know, when they're doing like the, but I'm like, but that's the way you need to. And for you, it might look, you might feel stupid doing it, but it doesn't look stupid when other people see you walking in that way. They just see that you're walking in with confidence and that you're walking in with, you know, your head held high. So, and it feels kind of silly on the surface, like, you know, but at the same time, they kind of get it, you know, they get, oh, you know, part of it is, you know, I'm not trying to get them to be something that they're not, you know, that's something that, you know, somebody says, well, you're trying to get them. No, I'm not trying to get them to be something that they're not. I'm just trying to get them to figure out how to use their body to protect themselves.
I got you. Do they ever have kids that have gone too far because now once they learn how to react to the bully, they become the bully? Has that ever happened?
Not that I've heard. So nobody's ever thought. But then I will have, you know, I can usually scan an audience and kind of see, you know, bullies. So sometimes I'll have like somebody that I could tell might be a bully. I'll have them come up and I'll have them play like the bullied victim, you know, and have them, you know, kind of cower and do all that, because I want them to see kind of what it feels like as well. So if I can actually navigate, and sometimes, you know, I pick the wrong person, but, you know, but sometimes it's really nice when you can pick somebody who you know is a bully, and just make them feel the way, you know, that they make other people feel.
When you do that with the one who is the bully, do they change? Do you ever get to talk to them afterwards and see how it changes?
I haven't talked to a lot of them afterwards, so.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think was the bully in The Karate Kid? Was it Daniel-san?
What's all? What's all?
So what do you want people to come away with? What do you want people to walk away from this discussion that we're having and know, be, do, act? What do you want them to do?
You know, well, as far as you who are the people who are bullied, you know, I think one of the biggest takeaways is, you know, I find one of the best ways to kind of combat the fact that you've been bullied is to do something nice for somebody else. Don't let what the bully has done to you affect the humanity inside you. Mm-hmm. And always speak up. Yeah, I know every bullying book that you read tells you, tell somebody that you're being bullied. I am a firm believer that that's not always the best. I mean, it depends on who you're telling and what they're doing with that information. You can tell somebody you're being bullied and nothing changes. You know, you can tell a teacher, and if the teacher doesn't do anything with that information other than say to you, you know, can't you all get along? Just learn how to get on. You know, if that's all they're going to do, then nothing different is going to change. So, one, making sure that the person you tell can actually do something about it. I never told my parents. Yeah, it was kind of a weird thing. My philosophy was, if I told my parents that I was being bullied in school, then they would think, well, what's wrong with my kid? What did I do wrong? Why is my kid getting bullied? And I didn't want them to feel bad. So
I understand that, because it's like you don't want to admit your weakness.
Right? Yeah, And I think that's why a lot of kids may not tell somebody that they're being bullied, because they don't want their parents to feel bad and feel like, you know, I did something wrong somehow raising my kid, and that's making them get bullied at school. Mm-hmm. But my whole thing is, you know, stand up for yourself. Always speak out, and speak out for other people. You know, I see people, you know, you see all these Facebook posts where, you know, somebody's getting bullied on a subway, and it's just really nice to have a bystander, somebody who's not involved in the situation, who will always stand up for somebody. So even if you can't stand up for yourself, stand up for somebody else, and then that'll slowly give you the power to stand up for yourself.
I think that is, it's good advice. Be careful when you do it, but.
Right, right. Yes. Make sure that, you know, there are people around in case they decide to beat you up.
Yeah. But I mean, once you step out and you can say something for somebody else, the next time it's a little bit easier.
Well, you know, I what I learned when I was writing the book was that Jackie Chan was bullied when he was a kid, and what caused him to kind of take control of the bullies was he saw another kid at school being bullied, and he stood up for the kid. He went and he beat the other kid up. And I don't recommend that.
Yeah.
But he said it was in the course of him beating up the bully that it was bullying somebody else, that it kind of just gelled with him that, oh, wait a minute, this is the way I should have been standing up for myself, the way I stood up for somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we're more willing to stand up for someone else than to stand up for our own self.
I think there are a lot of, not just kids, but a lot of communities that need people to stand up for them. And I think that's what's happening in the world right now is the bullies are beating people down, and the people that need to stand up really need to learn to stand up.
Well, I know, and that's what kills me about, you know, I'm not going to give names on your podcast because I don't want you to get in trouble. But just with certain politicians, it's like, okay, you know, there are certain things that are going on, and it's like, why is nobody standing up to some of these people? You know what I mean? I mean, they have just as much power as either a president or an ex-president or anything like that. So it's like, why is everybody just allowing it to happen? So that's one of the things I learned about, you know, by us not saying anything, we're just condoning the behavior. We're just saying that the behavior that's happening is okay. And right. It's not okay. You know, somebody needs to have the guts to stand up, you know.
Right. Or people might say, it's not me, it's not my problem.
But yeah.
Eventually it will be your problem. So.
Right.
You know what I want to do? I want to play a game with you. I want to play a game. Let's learn some more about Bullseye the Clown on a more personal level. We're going to play a game of this or that.
Uh-oh. I'm going to give
you two options. You can choose one or the other, but not neither or both. Okay. If you have to explain yourself, we might let you do that too.
Okay. All right.
And this may or may not apply always to you, but in general, juggling balls or spinning plates?
I guess I'd have to say spinning plates because I can't juggle. I tried that. That is very, very difficult to juggle. I just can't do it.
Yeah. Oversized clown shoes or floppy clown hat?
I would say the oversized shoes.
Okay. I'm pretty sure big red nose or big colorful wig?
Big red nose.
Okay. Mime or ventriloquism?
Oh, I guess I would have to say mime because I'm not a very good ventriloquist.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to shut up. But I guess I would, if I had to pick the two best, I would say mime.
I remember when I was little, I wanted to do ventriloquism so that when I was in the lunch line at school, I could be like, I want some extra dessert.
that's me, you know. Yeah. Or what I do whenever I go traveling is I take a puppet, but the puppet can only talk to me and he has to whisper. Uh-huh. and then I relay the information. I mean, I you know, I can't do it.
There we go. Let's make them we're going to keep getting harder and harder, maybe.
Uh-oh.
Speaking at a school assembly or leading a bully-proof boot camp?
Oh, both of them are good. So I know I can't say both. I would say, although I enjoy speaking at the schools, assembly programs, I would probably say the bully-proof boot camp.
Okay. What about helping one person immensely or slightly helping a large group?
I would say helping one person immensely.
Yeah. I love the one-on-one interaction. So that person becomes powerful. I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So how about writing another book or creating a documentary on bullying?
Ooh. Well, right now I would probably say writing another book just because there are some other things I want to tackle in another book. But I wouldn't be opposed to the other.
Okay. Well, if we find somebody who wants to do that show, I'm going to point them your way.
All right.
Okay. Dealing with a silent bully or a vocal bully?
I guess dealing with a silent bully, I think.
Okay.
No, it's a little tougher.
That would, they just keep getting harder and harder, I know.
Okay, it's okay.
How about tackling bullying on social media or real life bullying?
Well, actually, I think both of them are real life.
Okay.
I actually kind of enjoy dealing with the cyber bullies. I tend to have fun with them. So, but yeah, I would say I would probably pick the cyber bullying on that one.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of like the phone scammers, right? You get them.
Yeah.
Get
them. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I have fun with them.
Okay. Let me see. Raising awareness about bullying or providing direct support to the bullied. Which one's more?
What was the second one?
So either raising awareness about bullying or providing direct support to the bullied.
I really would like to really sit down with some bullies and really talk to them. So actually offering some direct support actually might be, you know, a good thing. So okay. I'll go with the second one.
How about face a crowd of critics alone or an individual bully with support?
The first one.
Face a crowd of critics alone. Okay.
Yeah, I can do that.
Let's do something more thought-provoking. How about have a world without bullying but no need for clowns, or a world with clowns but where bullying persists?
Well, I don't want to get rid of clowns, so I would have to say the second one. It'll just be a world full of clowns who beat down the bullies. That's what it's going to have to be.
Okay. So if you could change one thing in the world, would it be like eliminating bullying or eradicating all forms of hatred?
All forms of what?
Hatred.
I would say eliminating all forms of hatred, because I think that that's where the bullying comes from, and I think that that's what it leads to. So yeah. I think that if you eradicate hatred to begin with, then there won't be anything for the bullies to,
okay,
to be mad about.
So would you rather be remembered for your work against bullying or for the smiles that you've brought as a clown?
Ooh. This is going to sound terrible. But I would probably say for the smiles that I brought.
I don't think that sounds terrible, because if you, like that one girl that you talked about at the very beginning, where you kind of followed her around, I bet her life is completely different now because someone took.
Well, and then there was another, there were, I mean, just two or three other things that happened just like that, you know, when I was in Russia, that made me kind of stay on this particular path that I'm on. And so, yeah, I mean, I just saw that the power that it has. So, you know, if I can just, and you know what, I might just have to do it one person at a time. Yeah. You know, I may not be able to reach the masses all at once, but you know what? I got to just take it one person at a time.
We'll do one person at a time. And that one person talks to one person who talks to one person.
Exactly.
It'll get out there, right? One last question. That's one more. If you could teach the world just one lesson, would it be empathy or resilience?
Empathy.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah. Because I don't think we have enough of it. I don't think it's taught enough. And I don't think a lot of people are empathetic enough. You know, I think that even bullies, you know, if they knew empathy and what effect that what they did had on other people, mm-hmm. That would hopefully make them change the choices that they're making. You know, and it was the same way with me. You know, I spent a lot of my life, because I was bullied, kind of inside myself. And so I didn't really pay attention to the world that was outside me. So now I'm able to actually go and be empathetic for other people, more so than I even was whenever I was younger. You know, whenever I was younger, I was like, I just didn't want to get involved in anybody else's business because I had enough stuff of my own to deal with. And so I wasn't able to really be that empathetic with other people.
Can I tell you, I'm a big proponent of empathy. So I feel you on that. Ooh, I just put that down somewhere. I want people to be able to keep in touch with you. So we've got your clownsonamission.com website where people can find more about you and the things that you're doing.
Yes.
We've also got bullseyetheclown.com. Bam, right there.
Bam, there he is.
And of course, you are on the social media with Facebook, Bullseye the Clown on Bullying.
So you got it.
I'm going to leave, let's leave this up on the screen so they can find you at bullseyetheclown.com. And we're going to bounce out of here. Thank you so, so much for being on here. This has been an awesome discussion.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for having your first clown on the show.
Exactly. You will always be my first. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much. And everybody watching, we'll see you next time.
Bye.